o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and it begins with a rivalry that is the most historic in football, but has not been very sexy of late.
Confidence is sexy, don't you think?
Confidence is very sexy, don't you think?
Still have that one.
I was going to say, that surprised me you had that queued up.
Kind of surprised me it worked, yeah.
Big voice guy on Vortex Golf, though. Does he still work? Look, I have said, I'm on the record, this is not popular with Packers fans. I would like Caleb Williams to be good because I think it would make Packers-Bears a really fun rivalry again. A back and forth. I know they split their games last year thanks to the middle finger of Carl Brooks being just long enough to deflect that last field goal at Soldier Field. But let's be honest here. Caleb Williams is not exactly adept at trash talking at this point, from what I can tell. Jesse, you have a clip of him talking at Fanatics Fest, and I saw this, and this is lame. Here's Caleb
cringe.
Williams.
Super lame. Cringy? Super lame. Here you go.
Green Bay. I mean, they suck, but. It was after the game, after we won at Lambeau, 1-0 at Lambeau right now. So obviously try and do the Lambeau leap, and we actually tried to jump in the crowd where our fans were, and they start throwing everything at you, they push you off, and the Lambeau leap, it's a real leap. It's not a little baby jump. You actually have to high jump basically, and then they're pushing you, mushing your face. I mean, that was probably that. And then I had one today. I was actually in a car, and I got ran down for 6 blocks in the car. yeah, that was fun.
By a Packers fan? I don't understand that story.
I think someone took his package.
I've heard that's a problem going around these days. And then he was at some sort of concert where he was also yelling that Green Bay sucks. What are we doing here? Like, do we have no, like, creativity at all? Like, there was that lame attempt by Ben Johnson. Oh, I really enjoy beating Matt LaFleur. Like, what is this, Tausch? Because you played
insecurity.
In this rivalry. It was largely one-sided during your time in the Packers' favor. But I'm starting to have some remorse about suggesting that I want him to be good to make the rivalry more interesting. Because this is lame.
You should have remorse. It's insecurity is what it is. And I think it was Bears fans knew it for a long time, and I think when Rodgers hit him with the "I own you," I think it hit like, yeah, son of a gun, he does. They do, and it's irritating. And for a proud fan base, and again, I respect the heck out of Chicago, the Bears, Urlacher and the whole crew, and we played. I a ton of respect for how they went about their business. They have not gotten it right at quarterback. And that is predominantly why the rivalry has shifted as hard as it has. And there comes a sense that you need to, and I fall into this too. When you're given a speech or if you're out and somebody asks about the Bears, it's, at these political rallies, you get a red stake and you fire it up to your base. It's just stuff that you say, and people just go eat it up like dogs. They come at that steak. That's what he was trying to do. He wanted to get some, get a little energy and a little juice in the room. He's not there yet. It's not because you can say what you want, and yes, they did win a game. By the way, Green Bay didn't need to win. I know they ended up being a 7 and having to play Philly. I get all that.
Would have been nice to win it.
They were not. That was not a fully engaged Packer team that afternoon. You can't tell me differently. Is that our fault? Absolutely. But that's what this is, Jason. This is an insecurity that I think Bears players, because they're sick of it, they, for as much as you could say, well, every year stands on its own, when you hear things over and over, whether it's from fans, the mailman, when you're at the grocery store, you get sick and tired of it. And that's where the Bears are at this point with their rivalry with the G&G.
Is there any part of you that is concerned that they have moved closer to this being a rivalry? With the hiring of Ben Johnson, with the quarterback they have, it seems like they've shored up their offensive line, although they did. Older guys, so we know how that can go. But does that concern you in any way?
I think that you can make an argument. They were pretty dysfunctional last year. I mean, you start hearing the stories about not watching film together and, you know, their coach and how that all played out. They still did beat us once. And you don't have to like Ben Johnson's trash talk, but you certainly have to respect what he did in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You just do. So whether or not they have the pieces to pull it off, and I think the offensive line is going to be the difference, because Ben Johnson was able to do a lot of really fun stuff because their O-line is good and they ran the ball good. When is the last time Chicago's been really good on the ground and good protecting their quarterback? Been a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you answered the question, Jason. How is that older offensive line, can they stay healthy and can they hold up? Because if they do, their defense usually figures things out and gives their team a chance to win, a la last year. Their offense was inept. I still don't know how they ended up going down getting a field goal at the end, because even with all the junk that happened in that game, they couldn't muster jack until they did.
Mm-hmm.
So do I worry about it? I think Chicago has a chance to be better. And Green Bay needs to be much better than they played in that last game of the season in the sloppy game, because it was, to take a line from Billy Madison, it was extra. How did he say that? You watch your sloppy, 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 Jones. That's how we played. It was sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. They better be better, because I do think Chicago will be better than what they were last year.
Well, if your shower is a sloppy, 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 you need to call Doug and Kohler Services.
Yeah, looking to update your bath or shower? Well, our friends at Kohler Services have an offer for you. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. This month only, get zero interest financing for 12 months and a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation. Well, that is always included. That's KohlerServicesWI.com.
We'll play some Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank, next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Play a little Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank.
Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. Hey, remember that NFC North Roundtable article?
Oh, we got a lot of stuff out of that.
There's still more to get. We're getting every crumb out of the bottom of the bag from this article that the NFC North NFL Nation writers at ESPN collaborated on from last Monday. It's like 10 days old, but still a gift that keeps on giving. All right, Take It to the Bank. The Chicago Bears front office, speaking of Caleb Williams and the Bears, the Chicago Bears front office was the clear winner of the offseason of the four teams in the NFC North. One of the questions was, which front office was the winner of the offseason? and I believe unanimously the NFL Nation writers all said the Chicago Bears, including Rob Domofsky. Take it to the bank. You agree with all of them. The Bears won the offseason.
Yeah, what's new? The Bears are the offseason champions the last 5 years. Every year. And I think, and listen, man, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, it's because their media market is bigger and people want them to be good and they've been the worst, so they have the most to gain. You could say that their roster's stunk and they continue to try to add pieces. And then by September and October, everybody's like, well, the O-line stinks. Well, they can't do this. Blah, 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 blah. So do I understand why they say that? Because they added Benny Johnson. They added Tooney. And they're trying to solidify that. Sure. Hey, congratulations. Y'all won the offseason again. Awesome.
First of all, they did win the offseason by hiring Ben Johnson. He is, in 2025, what Mike Holmgren was in 1992 for the Green Bay Packers.
Whoa.
He is the young, hotshot, offensive-minded head coach that everybody wanted, and the Bears were the ones that got him. Remember, he spent the previous year in the hiring cycle turning down opportunities to come back for another year with the Lions. And so, as Rob points out, you know, not only did the Bears land the hottest coaching candidate, but they weakened a division rival who he had worked for previously. Now, a correction, if I may. Kevin Seifert didn't vote for the Bears.
Oh,
just wait. Jesse said something wrong?
Probably should have had the article pulled up.
Kevin Seifert voted for the team he covers. He said the Vikings. And it's an interesting point, and I want to see how Tausch responds to what Kevin Seifert wrote, which is this. The Vikings surrounded McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy, their new quarterback, with one of the most experienced rosters in the league, courtesy of a cash expenditure of $341 million for 2025, according to Roster Management System. General Manager Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah elevated multiple areas of weakness by acquiring three new starters on the offensive line, same as the Bears, by the way, and two for the defensive line, along with a skilled number two running back in Jordan Mason. Although some of the new veterans have had recent injury histories, there are few holes in the presumptive starting lineup. I bring this up because I heard you earlier in our conversation with Evan correct him on the Vikings and putting them in the they can have Super Bowl hopes, even though they've got a young quarterback who did not play last year. And I ask you, when you hear what Kevin wrote and you think back to now your greater appreciation, if that's the right word, of the Vikings, as opposed to being dismissive of them as you were for so much of last season, is it possible that they are better? And it all comes down to whether or not the quarterback, with a coach who made Sam Darnold really good, who made Kirk Cousins really good, can make a guy with zero regular season NFL snaps at quarterback and J.J. McCarthy similarly good.
So I do not think J.J. McCarthy can lead this team to the playoffs. I don't. I've seen him at Michigan. He was fine. Michigan had first-round picks literally everywhere you looked. And they had Connor Stallions. Those are facts. Connor Stallions deserves a big part of that championship. Here's what I think is going to happen. Minnesota's front office and organization, I hate to say it because I don't like Minnesota. Don't like them at all. They're good. Their coach is really good. And I was hoping they'd bungle it and he'd leave, but that's not what happened. The Minnesota Vikings are going to pick up Kirk Cousins, and he is going to lead that team to the playoffs. That's what I think is going to happen.
Mark the tape.
So McCarthy will struggle. I think McCarthy will get some opportunities, and I think Kirk, Captain Kirk, is going to come in, and he's going to have to put his little cape on, and they're going to come in, and they're going to end up getting one of the last wild card spots with Kirk Cousins leading their charge. That's what I think is going to happen.
Will we revisit Kissin' Cousins as a headline?
I do believe Kissin' Cousins will be quarterbacking when the G&G. When do they play them? Right at the end of the season again?
They do. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that in Minneapolis or is that down here in the old frozen tundra?
So the Packers, two matchups with the Minnesota Vikings in 2025.
The heck voice was that?
I don't.
I'm getting excited for Happy Gilmore, too. I'm in an Adam Sandler
starring Paul Skeenis.
That's what's going on.
Frozen tundra.
They play them at Lambeau Field on November 23rd.
Okay.
And they close the regular season on January 4th at Minnesota and U.S. Bank Stadium on January 4th or 5th. So that will be the regular season finale between those two.
The Cousinator will have to win that game, and I believe the Green Bay Packers will either, Detroit, I don't
They'll
know how that's going to
win or
shake
lose.
Up. No, Minnesota will need to win that game to get in the playoffs, and Cousins will have to lead them. That's what I think is going to happen. So their roster's good. Obviously, their receiving core is very good. Their offensive line, they've done some, you know, as you just mentioned, some beefing up. So is Green Bay, by the way. So is Green Bay. This will be, that's how I see Minnesota. They will not, I just, you're asking a lot. Unless he's Jaden Daniels, which he's not going to be. He's not. We'll see how great, if KOC is that good and he can get McCarthy to make a playoff push this season as basically a rookie, I am very nervous that in the next 2 or 3 year window, then the Minnesota Vikings are going to be a real problem. A real problem.
We've reached halftime.
At the frozen tundra.
We've reached halftime in Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. We will do part two coming up as we put a bow on this really good NFC North roundtable among the four beat writers that
miss
cover
this article. I hope they do it again.
Jason, what do you? I guess we'll get your take on this. Am I crazy?
I will reveal if Tausch is crazy after I tell you that Associated Bank, they're crazy about great customer service. They make sure that they've got early pay, so you have access to your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early, that they have credit monitoring to make sure your credit score is where you need it to be. If, say, you're purchasing a new living room set from Steinhoffels. And they've got fraud protection in case someone steals your package and then tries to keep it and doesn't pay you back. All of those things and more, plus Packers checking, Badger checking, and Brewers checking. Go to AssociatedBank.com to read all about it. Part two of Take It to the Bank is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I hope someday we'll sit down together and laugh with each other about these days. All our troubles, we'll lay to rest and we'll wish we could come back to these days.
We come out of the locker room for the second half of Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. Now, Jesse, before a kickoff, let's go down to the field and talk to Tom Rinaldi, who says that Matt LaFleur prays every time Anders Carlson trots out onto the field, which went over very well with the coach.
Nice.
Look, I'm a KOC believer. And
That's
while
Kwesi Adolfo. Or no,
Kwesi Adolfo Menso.
But that's Kevin O'Connell is KOC.
Yes, I'm not talking about the general manager.
I got a lot of three name people.
He would be K.A.
Jason, who's a better coach?
Kevin O'Connell. I think he's really, really good.
How would you power rank the coaches in the NFC North?
Well, I'm not putting Ben Johnson ahead of Matt LaFleur.
No.
When he hasn't coached a game yet. And look, I'm going to reserve judgment. And look, I was wrong the first time, but I'm going to put myself out there to be wrong again on Dan Campbell.
Yeah, you will.
I did not think Dan Campbell and his kneecap biting tough guy spiel was going to work.
That ain't your deal. You ain't interested.
And they started 1-7.
Yeah, they did.
So
crappy the year before too.
So again, I am eager to see how this season goes when he doesn't have a defensive coordinator who got a head coaching job and an offensive coordinator who I moments ago compared to Mike Holmgren, who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, by the way. So I'm putting Matt LaFleur second, but I am a KOC believer. Like, I like everything about him. And he played in the league.
You don't even know anything about him.
Who was that we said that about?
That was Homer.
That was Homer.
Yeah.
It was a linebacker.
Tyler Lancaster, I think.
No, it was a linebacker. Number 44, Jason. Number 44, a linebacker for the G&G. I don't remember his name, though.
Oh, he was that... He was that linebacker out of TCU. He was a seventh-round pick.
Ty Summers.
Ty Summers,
Summers.
2019.
Summers. Yep.
I like him, and I don't even know anything about him. One of the all-time great radio quotes ever.
I love everything about him, and I don't know anything about him.
Indeed.
That is that so was... Homer.
It's our
it
guy.
Couldn't be more Homer.
Let's get to the second half.
Is it possible, Jason, that
or not
Matt LaFleur is the third best? If you're ranking right now, he'd be the third coach drafted. Is that possible in the NFC?
It's possible he could be the last coach drafted out of the NFC North.
Yeah, first of all, if the Packers were to move on from him, I do believe he would have a line around the block of teams
agree.
That'd be interested in him.
Agree.
So let's.
But
not,
would there I, be a longer line? For Dan Campbell and for KOC.
Yeah, I think Dan Campbell is an acquired taste. I think he is good for a specific type of team. I'm still a doubter on him, and I'm happy to be. If they go and win the Super Bowl this year, I will stand right here and say I was 1,000,000% wrong once again on Dan Campbell. He doesn't need to prove anything to anyone. But for me personally, he needs to prove it to me that he can do it with two new coordinators now. Because Nick Sirianni was a really good coach. Then he lost both his coordinators. Wasn't so good of a coach. Then got two really good coordinators again. One who'd been a head coach previously in Vic Fangio. And one who is now a head coach. It's happened again with Kellen Moore. And they won a Super Bowl. So, again, I do think... Good coaches hire good coaches who make them look like even better coaches. So we'll have to wait.
Yeah. That should be a positive.
Yes, absolutely.
When your coaches are getting poached. That means you know what the hell you're doing. Like Jeff Hafley, I hope gets poached. Because that means we're doing great.
Yep.
Right?
Totally agree.
Okay. I just wonder, I do wonder... First off, thank you, Courtney Cronin and Seifert and Domofsky and Woodyard.
Woodyard.
Because y'all have been awesome. I wonder if you had those three.
I'm not even going to put Ben anything Johnson. From their article in this segment because we didn't get to any of it yet.
But that's what makes it great, Jesse. That you get you get some adjacent material.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of a good piece.
It's
you get some adjacent.
It's roundtable adjacent. It's like that extra leaf that you spread the table out and then you put it inside to make it a larger table. That's what
Something
we've
like
done
that.
Here.
Yeah, I don't
are getting
exactly
a lot of run with their
means,
music
yes.
today on this show. I can tell you that much.
Didn't you ever have a table growing up that you pulled
the
two sides apart and then put the middle in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know
what
that means
done.
To adjacency with that? Because that's not around, an adjacent. That's
it's a round table. Is the story
becomes a long table? Yeah.
Okay. Because
now we've inserted a section into it without reading
I've
any
looked
of their.
At, you don't typically think of round tables with the leaf, though. Usually, it's long tables that you do that with, not the circular.
Or you remove a leaf to make it a circular table when it's naturally a longer table.
But you can't turn a rectangle table into a circle.
Okay, this is my fault.
Unless you got a saw. Come on, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, what are you doing? Jason, I got to ask you this. So the AFC
East. Can you
East,
tease it?
Sure. Do we have a read with it or are we just going?
Nope, just tease away, buddy.
All right. If the AFC East has a draft, all four teams are looking for a coach. How would they address, and every NFC North coach is available, how would that thing shake itself out? I want to hear what Jason has to say, and I'd like to hear what Jesse has to say. And we're going to probably do that, some type of adjacency, next. It's Wildy and Tosh.
This is Jim Rutledge from Jim, Matt, and Molly, a finalist for Best of Madison Radio Team for the third year in a row. Help us win it all this year and vote every day this month at madisonmagazine.com/BOM.
It is now after 11 o'clock. We still have not finished up the round table. And Tausch has teased us with a very good question, which is, if the, do we want to call them the lowly AFC East?
Now the South is worse.
Buffalo ain't lowly.
No, that's
true.
Buffalo
ain't lowly.
But you chose the East, right?
Well, I'm just trying, I had to pick a division that, their, for whatever reason, their coach is not available. And they're drafting and they're saying, all right, I get my pick of these four coaches in the NFC North. Because if I ask Minnesota, they're going to say, well, of course, yeah, I love KOC. Oh, I love LaFleur. Like, all right, so we have to spread it a little bit.
Yeah, I just.
The
South has Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Tennessee.
Okay.
So whatever the case may be.
I don't care. You can
sure.
Let's pick the South. I'm fine with that too.
All right. So
Tennessee,
first,
right now they fire old boy. They get their pick of the litter from the NFC North. Who are they hiring tomorrow?
KOC.
All right. Houston. They get their pick of the litter. Who are they hiring right now?
Ben Johnson.
Okay.
I think Tennessee might take Dan Campbell.
Because he's more like Vrabel?
A bunch of young players trying to rally.
Why'd they fire Vrabel?
Turn the culture around. Vrabel's a different kind of tough guy. Like, Dan Campbell's a rally rah-rah.
The reason I thought it was interesting is there going to be a unanimous, like, I would bet that in that AFC South, again, Jacksonville, young quarterback. Maybe they want Ben Johnson.
Yeah, they just hired Liam Cohen.
Wouldn't I rather have Matt LaFleur, who's shown that he's done it, than Benny J?
Would any of those teams hasn't done it with a young quarterback yet either.
He's done it with Darnold and Cousins.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
But not a rookie or whatever JJ is.
He's had Jay Jettis with him. Is he doing that without Jay Jettis? I don't know.
It's a good question.
Would there be a team that would pick Matt LaFleur to take on over the other three if they had that choice?
Yeah, Tennessee. He was there before. The ownership knows him. I bet that they would.
And they let him go.
Yeah, because he was in conflict with their existing head coach, I believe, if we're being honest.
Okay.
Like, I think I've heard stories that if he hadn't gotten the Packers job, Vrabel was going to fire him. Which
does not,
in my opinion, reflect poorly on Matt LaFleur. It reflects poorly on Mike Vrabel. Because he's obviously shown that the guy can coach offensively.
Well, they didn't show it when they were in Tennessee together. I think their offense sucked.
Well, if I recall correctly, they were playing like Blaine Gabbert that year. And Mariota was hurt and everything else. But they gave the ball to Derrick Henry, right? And that was pretty much their entire
offense.
They
came up? Was LaFleur there when they had what's-his-name torched us up on that Thursday night of decision weekend? Validation Thursday, we called it? Or was that a different year?
LaFleur was the head coach for Validation.
LaFleur was the head coach of the Packers for Validation.
Okay, so when Tannehill came in and did that, it wasn't LaFleur running the show for Tennessee.
It was
LaFleur
was
running
Smith.
The show for the G&G.
Yeah. It was Arthur
Smith.
That
was about as embarrassing of a night as I can remember. That was
it
brutal.
Did not go well. It was not a good thing.
Have we won a game on Amazon?
It's been a minute.
I think we're 0-3 on Amazon.
Well, Bezos was rumored to buy the Bears back in the day. So my point is, the whole reason I thought this was interesting is you do believe Tennessee would hire LaFleur over the other three.
I do.
But you said KOC when I first asked.
Well, because I thought we were doing independent of actual teams. And then you said Tennessee specifically subsequently, and I thought, you know what? I think they would hire him. He has history with their ownership. And they've seen
how good
he's
been. So they were going to fire him, and now they
will hire him. No, the coach was going to fire him. The ownership wasn't. The coach was, I think.
Well,
Vrabel has control of his staff.
What is interesting to me about this, there is no doubt Matt LaFleur is the most tenured and most successful of those four other three coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that if the AFC South was drafting a coach, I don't think LaFleur would get the majority of the votes.
No. I agree.
I think there might be a chance if you do it like a Heisman vote where you got to go 1, 2, 3, 4 and you add up the points. I think LaFleur might finish fourth in that.
That would be a travesty.
I would agree.
He's a better coach than that.
I don't think so. I think he'd finish third because I think he'd get a lot of second and third place. I don't know if he's getting any first place votes in that.
It's interesting. That's an interesting way to put it, actually. And obviously the first place votes are worth the most points. We need to get to the 11 o'clock hour. We also will have trivia during that time. And, of course, Woe Nelly. And maybe we'll get to the final topics.
We finish this thing up.
From the round
save
table.
Save it for next week. Why not?
Stick around. We start the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.